Hej allihopa och välkomna till avsnitt nummer 9. Det här är Maria som talar. Jag skulle bara säga att dagens avsnitt har vi fått lägga upp lite speciellt. Det är nämligen så att vi har fått klippa väldigt mycket för att få till en logisk följd på den intervjun som Elin har gjort. Och därför har Elin klippt ihop lite mellan intervju och när vi sitter och snackar. Så det hoppas lite fram och tillbaka mellan intervjun och studion. Och i studion redde vi ut lite begrepp som liksom förklarar intervjun. Så det är bra. Det är väldigt bra klippt. Inte för att skryta. Men, ja. Så vi tänkte för att underlätta så att man hänger med så kommer vi ha ett litet ljud som plingar till mellan varje klipp då, så att säga. Så det är inte konstigt än så. Hoppas att ni hänger med.
Nu ska vi sätta igång med dagens avsnitt.
Mm, det ska vi göra. Och den här podden blir lite internationell. Så nu kommer vi att prata engelska i fortsättningen.
Yes, awesome.
Yes. So, I have interviewed a South African woman whose name is Debbie Henne. And she visited my mom's choir in Sweden this summer. And I met up with her to interview her about her work in the South African Water Department. So that was really nice.
It's fun when you can combine pleasure with work with pleasure. I was going to say pleasure with fun, but that didn't make sense. Work with pleasure. I mean, she's a friend of your mom's, and yeah, she could also be interviewed for this pod.
Yeah, yeah. So that was nice.
Yeah. So it's a very specific theme. I mean, we're usually quite general and broad, but now we're going to be very specific.
That's true. We're going to focus on South Africa and the water issues.
Yes.
That are there.
Yes.
So, Debbie, it's nice that you let me interview you for our pod. And we talked a bit before about what it is that you do. But could you please explain again? What is it that you work with?
As I said, I work for government. One of the departments, or maybe of the focus areas of government, is the Department of Water. Department of Water is one of the 30 departments in the government of South Africa. So Department of Water is a national department. It has got a relationship with local government because it manages water. It manages water resources. We have to give support to local government in terms of water, water management, and you know, water related issues, and we also have to regulate local government and ordinary use of water around the country. We also have a section that have that coordinates the relationship between us and international world on water.
Oh yeah.
So
so you have a lot of international.
Yes, international relations issues, but I am you know, within water, Department of Water, there's a section on that deals with regulation, you know, which is more water governance. I'm part of that, and there's a section that deals with infrastructure, where you know the infrastructure for building dams.
Mm.
There's a section that deals with like hydrology, hydrological issues, and geohydrology, groundwater. A separate section that's looking at that, basically looking at in water information and planning.
Mm.
So it's our department that deals with where do you find water in South Africa, and how do you plan for water?
Exactly.
You see?
And you're a social scientist.
I'm a social scientist in the department. Yeah. So hence I'm in the water governance. We have regulations. You know, I'm in charge of, I'm in the section that enforces, you know, compliance with regulations of water. So we monitor illegal water use. We monitor people who don't use water. We authorize people to use water and how much water to use, and we enforce. We have regulations or maybe mechanisms to enforce people.
So, who owns the water in South Africa?
Water now, since 1994, is owned by government.
Yeah.
Before 1994, you know,
mm-hmm.
it was, if the water runs through your property,
mm-hmm.
you would own that water.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's quite a difference.
Yeah, it's very different. And then, because we do that because we have a Bill of Rights,
mm-hmm.
Section 2 of our Constitution, it's a Bill of Rights, and one, and water is the basic right.
Okay, so before 1994, there was no right to water, basically.
Yeah, there was no individual right to water.
That must have been a huge step up for people, that right to water.
It's a huge step up for people, especially those who do not have access to water.
Yeah.
Because especially in the rural areas, most people were in the rural areas, you would have to look for a stream and,
yeah,
you know,
okay.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then people, especially agriculture,
really
was complaining because the act was very biased to giving advantage to agriculture.
Yeah.
See, you know, if the river runs across your property, you can block the water.
Yeah,
you can do anything.
Mm.
But now you are not supposed to divert water.
Yeah.
You are not supposed to tamper with water.
Mm.
And as government, if we have a stream running through a property, we have a right to that stream.
Mm.
We come and we build an infrastructure.
Mm.
We make sure, and we are going to come into your property.
Mm.
We have the servitude right
to
come into your property and manage the works.
Oh.
So we build the infrastructure works in your property.
That makes it easy to see the big picture.
Yes, makes it easy to be the picture. Mm. And if you have access to that water, we regulate you in your yard.
Okay. And now over to Maria, who is complimenting with some facts about South Africa and the right to water.
So if we look a little bit at the history of South Africa's water availability, I will start after the apartheid era, because that's also something that Debbie talks about post 1994.
Yeah.
And what happened then was that South Africa's newly elected government, they made a very strong commitment to achieve higher standards in water access and sanitation. So South Africa is actually one of the few countries in the world that has cherished the basic right to sufficient water in its constitution.
Yeah.
So they actually have written down everyone has the right to have access to sufficient food and water.
Yeah.
Whereas if we compare to globally, there's actually as far as I understand, in terms of human rights to water availability, the UN resolution only formally recognized the right to water and sanitation in 2010.
Yeah.
So in that sense, South Africa were very early by acknowledging this right to sufficient water already in the 90s. And since then, the country has made a lot of progress in terms of improving the access to water supply. I read some numbers that the share of the population that has access to an improved water source, so purified water, has increased from 83% in 1990 to 91% in 2010, and that's actually almost 50 million people.
Okay, improved water is piped water or?
I think it's treated in some sense.
Okay, regulated in somehow.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
So yeah, it's pretty hard, efficient work, I reckon.
Yeah.
15 million people in 15 years.
Yeah.
So South African water sector has two distinctive features. So first of all, it's this policy of having free basic water, and the second is that they have these water boards. And this sort of started then in 1994 when the government published a white paper on water and sanitation, a policy for water and sanitation. And this white paper led to the Water Services Act in 1997. And actually, I found the Water Services Act.
Did you read it?
I found the white paper.
Oh.
I didn't read all of it, but in the beginning of it, they are actually listing like the core, they have like a summary of the policy and the core key proposals.
Yeah.
And I think we could actually post this on our Facebook
page.
Yeah,
that would be
nice. For instance, they in this white paper, they say that the government will act as the custodian of the nation's water resources, and its powers in its regard will be exercised as a public trust. So this was not implemented before, I guess. And all these different things. But one of them was then that the water required to meet basic human needs will be guaranteed as a right.
Yeah.
But at the same time, this Water Act also allowed better control on, and also they call for a higher cost recovery so that the water needs to be profitable as well. So they also have all these listings of that if you use the water, you need to pay for the management of the water and for the environmental impact of using the water.
Yeah.
And this was a challenge due to this widespread poverty, because then they actually the poor people couldn't afford.
No.
So there were these challenges, especially then in townships where there were a lot of there was a culture of non-payment for water as a remnant of the protests against apartheid.
Yeah, because they couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. So there were some challenges with this act. I think the act also kind of modified the role of these water boards that they already had before, but they were sort of a clear legal definition of the water board after this Water Act. So they were kind of the providers of bulk water, but after this act, it was also allowed for private actors to supply the water.
Mm.
So after that, they added this policy of having free basic water. So instead of paying for all water up to a certain limit, you got free water.
Mm-hmm.
So this was kind of implemented in 2000 where the African National Congress promised free basic water during their election.
So
in 2001 it became a national policy that at least 6 cubic meters of free water per month should be supplied to each person, I guess, or each household. Yeah, so what that means is like 40 liters per person in a family of five, which we can compare then to 160 liters per person a day in Sweden, which is our average consumption. This has been implemented gradually in the different municipalities. So each municipality decides for themselves if this free basic water is going to be made available for everyone or just for the poor people.
Mm.
And in 2012, the program reached 86% of all households. And with it, they also introduced these prepaid meters, where sort of part of the management contract with private operators, where if you used more than your 6 cubic meters, the monthly supply was the supply was cut off, or you had to pay for it, and that also sparked a lot of conflicts.
Yeah.
So as far as I understand, this act or this free water availability has been good in some areas, but also there have been challenges because it has mainly reached people who are not poor, because they have a good water supply system already that can be utilized, whereas the poor people might not even have a water supply system, or they don't have the sufficient pressure in their water supply.
Okay.
So they're not everyone profits from this program.
Mm.
So there have been some reviews of this strategy for free basic water, especially for the poor users. And there is a city called Durban, which has now changed so that they have free basic water only to the poor, and the households living in properties that are generally valued above a certain threshold, they have to kind of prove that they are poor in order to continue receiving free water.
Okay.
So that they are benefiting the right people, because of course this is a large cost to provide free water to the whole population.
Yeah.
And actually Durban, they have their water and sanitation department won the Stockholm Industry Water Award in 2014 for their transformative and inclusive approach, where they had this, they were the first one actually to supply free water. And in 14 years, they've connected 1.3 million people to piped water and provided 700,000 people with access to toilets.
Mm.
So, and they've also done a lot with rainwater harvesting and hydropower and urine diverting dry toilets and things like that. So that's why they received this Stockholm Industry Prize.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's pretty exciting.
So the people in Cape Town, where do they get their water from? Is it from a river nearby, or is it different for different areas?
It's different for different areas. I can send you that information. There are dams, right? There are dams and rivers.
Yeah.
So Cape Town will draw water from that system, and then it purifies the water, and then it pipes it to different households.
Yeah.
So, you know, we say that we manage rivers and dams, which is the resource. Then they manage the piping. Water is very much, you know, it does not have political boundaries.
No.
That's the premise we work from.
Mm.
Water does not have political boundaries. Mm. And remember, water is also trans-country.
Yeah.
Trans-region, trans-country.
Yeah.
So you
have to have a wider perspective.
Yes, you have to have a wider perspective, because we're sharing the rivers with neighboring countries.
Mm.
So you cannot put water at a political level.
No, that's true.
So that's where that's where we're working from.
Yeah, so like Debbie says, the water resources in South Africa is basically rivers and dams. The big rivers in South Africa are transboundary, and transboundary means that several countries or two countries share the same water resource. For example, the longest river in South Africa is called the Orange River, and it rises in a country called Lesotho and flow westward through South Africa and then out in the Atlantic Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And that river is also shared with Namibia.
Okay.
One example of an important dam is the Katse Dam, and this dam is supplying water to Johannesburg and the industry in the arid Gauteng area, which is close to Johannesburg. That's like a province, Gauteng. I'm not sure if I pronounce it right.
Like Gauteng?
Yeah. Let's say Gauteng.
Yeah. The big Gauteng Dam.
And this dam lies in Lesotho, another country, the Kingdom of Lesotho, which is a small enclaved country that basically is surrounded by South Africa.
Mm.
And this dam costed $8 billion, which is about 70 miljarder to build. And it supplies South Africa with about 30 cubic meters of water per second. It's a huge dam. It has a capacity of 1,520 million cubic meters of water. And of course, it's not for free, supplying South Africa with water, so Lesotho gets paid for delivering water to South Africa. So,
okay.
That's how it works.
So they built the dam?
I'm not sure who constructed it. I think it was some kind of Lesotho Highland Water Project. I'm not sure how it was financed,
mm-hmm.
if it was financed by the country or if it was a collaboration. I should find that out. We can put some information up on our website.
Just
Facebook. Yeah. And then Cape Town has a quite complex water supply system that also contains rivers and dams. And the Berg River Dam is included in this water system, and this dam was constructed to capture winter rainfall and supply Cape Town with water. And this dam is also huge. It has a capacity of 130,000 megaliters of water, so it's big projects. And this dam lies in the province of the Western Capes, and it takes water from the Berg River.
Yeah.
So that's how it works.
It must have a huge effect on the environment to take all that water and dam it.
Yeah. And also the people who used to live
there.
Probably. Yeah.
Most likely.
A lot of environmental issues.
Does it work differently in townships? Like, there's a big township called Kailiche. How does the water supply work there? Is it different from other areas, or it's...
It's not different. It's only that, especially in the city of Cape Town, started a system because payment is difficult, right?
Mm.
What they've done now, they put a water meter systems. They are water meter systems, right?
Mm.
But in those places, they it was not easy to monitor.
Mm.
You know, but now what they've done, and also if they allocate to the 6 kiloliter, right?
Mm.
So the other person who's connected to you, your relative who lives in an informal settlement, you know, as I was saying, will draw water from you.
Yeah.
Then what the city has done, they give you that water for the day.
Mm.
If it gets finished, you don't have water.
Okay.
It's because I've got relatives. I've got my father's house.
Mm.
It's also not in Kailicha, but it's in another township.
Mm.
So they experience the same thing. Mm. They know that if they finish that water,
there's no more.
There's no water until tomorrow.
Yeah.
So Debbie and I talk about townships in South Africa, and you might wonder what that is. Maria is going to clarify what a township is. So the townships were created during the apartheid era. The apartheid classified the inhabitants of the country into 4 racial groups.
Mm.
So it was the black, white, colored, and Indian people.
Mm.
And during this apartheid era, all the non-white people were then evicted from their properties, or the properties that were in the white-only areas. And then they were forced to move into these segregated townships.
Okay.
And these areas and these communities still exist, although apartheid does not exist.
Yeah.
And today these townships face a lot of problems, social problems, because a lot of the residents don't own the land where they built the house. So the government can't really regulate because the constructions are informal.
Yeah.
So they don't get... always get the right access to basic services like sewage or electricity and roads and clean water.
Yeah.
And also they have very dense populations.
Yeah.
So who regulates the water in South Africa?
It is not the duty of local government only to comply with water regulation. You know, for local government to comply, national government has a duty to support, because the constitution says we must support.
Mm.
So we support and regulate.
Mm.
So essentially we must regulate.
Mm.
And I'm saying for the past so many years, we've actually been concentrating on support.
Mm.
Now we need to regulate.
Mm.
We need to emphasize and focus on regulation, because if we strictly regulate, it will tell us where to support.
Yeah.
You see?
Mm.
So that's
so you also need some information about where are the gaps?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was saying we need to.
How do you regulate? Do you measure water flows, or in what way?
Yeah, we monitor.
Mm.
We monitor water flows. We monitor water quality.
Mm.
We monitor water use, illegal water use. We have set out so many different types of uses, and then what do you need to use water for what?
Okay.
So if you, for instance, if you want to build a dam,
you
are regulated. So if you want to build a dam, you come to us, right? We must give you 3 licenses. So we must give you a license for constructing the dam.
Mm.
We must give you a license for storing water.
Yeah.
We must give you a license for taking from the resource, the river.
Mm.
So you must end up with three licenses.
Mm.
So you must, you shouldn't do those things without those licenses, without that, without authorization.
Mm.
But because people are, say, you know, government processes can be very slow, and people sometimes
so
they don't
you just
have,
do it instead of
they
you,
don't they
yeah.
do it. So we
mm.
must monitor that.
Yeah.
We must know, as we are sitting, we must know how many dams
yeah.
are in the country
mm.
and how many dams belong to government and how many are those that belong to private sector.
Yeah.
Mm. Other dams are governed at national, other dams are governed, especially the private ones,
mm.
by local governments.
Okay.
You see?
Mm.
So, but then the rules and regulations, they come from us.
Is that mainly the dams, is that for drinking water? Or
the dams are mainly for farmers.
For farmers,
yeah.
Okay,
for business,
for
agriculture, for irrigation.
Mm.
Yeah, they are mainly, most of them. Oh, let me say, government has got its dams.
Yeah.
That's for water security for the country.
Yeah.
To say that, you know, the particular dam, you know, services a particular community or particular constituency.
Mm.
Then they. The local government for household water will draw water from the dam
yeah.
and then purify it
yeah.
and then pipe it
mm.
to households.
Mm.
Other dams are, you know, are privately, especially the privately owned dams.
Mm.
Those are the ones that we monitor, because we don't want them to monopolize water.
No.
They must be allocated.
Mm.
So if we have a dam here, we must... When we give you the allocation, you might ask for so many cubic meters
mm.
of water.
Mm.
But there's no guarantee that you're going to get all that.
Mm.
Because as government, we must just check the catchment.
Yeah, exactly.
If there's enough water for
yeah.
ecology, if there's enough water
mm.
for households,
mm.
if there's...
And how then does it affect
yes, how
the,
will it
the downstream?
The downstream,
yeah.
you see, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
So there are processes that we follow,
yeah. Yeah.
you know?
Mm. Is this something that you investigate, your department, or is it...
The department
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's not the ones that want to build the dam that investigate this.
Mm-mm.
It's more...
It's us.
The department. Yeah.
Because you must apply to us
yeah.
if you want to construct a dam.
And then you say, this
and
is
then
okay, this is not.
Something. We must give you the license,
mm.
and we give you the license
yeah.
With conditions.
Yeah. Mm.
Then the conditions are based on what the characteristics of the catchment.
Mm.
So, you know, there must be enough water in the resource.
Mm.
There must be enough water for consumption,
mm.
then we give you the water. South Africa is rated the 30th driest country
yeah.
in the world.
Yeah.
So there's no water,
so
and you know, it's like, unlike Netherlands, they're
mm.
managing lots of water.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
to deal with
the
lots
opposite.
Of water. But we are directly opposite. We are managing, you
yeah.
know, how to maximize,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
availability of water
yeah.
and access to water.
Yeah.
And then... For people to have access to water, really, or to manage that scarcity, there are programs that,
mm.
that are there from
mm.
government and then from, you
mm.
know, from
mm.
Private organizations.
The climate in South Africa varies a lot within the country. The west is quite dry, and the rain, average rainfall per year is about 100 millimeters. In the summer, and east has more rain, about 1,000 millimeters on average, and that's a huge variation
mm.
Compared to Sweden, that maybe has between, I don't know, 600 and 1,000 something millimeters. So,
mm.
so some parts are dry and some are not.
Mm.
And with the climate changes, the dry periods will probably increase and put a stress on the future water supply system. What are the challenges in the future for South Africa concerning water?
Cape Town and Joburg, they've become very popular
yeah.
for people coming in.
Mm.
You know, it's the
like
urbanization.
Tourism, you mean?
Yeah, urbanization is,
okay,
is
okay.
very rapid.
Mm-hmm.
So since 1994, people have been coming in, you
mm.
know,
yeah.
in numbers
yeah.
into the cities.
Mm.
But then there's not been attention given to expanding.
Mm.
So the problem of wastewater treatment plants is that they've not been expanded to
yeah.
accommodate
yeah.
okay.
the volume of the waste or the population the population growth.
No, so that's a challenge for the future.
That's a big challenge for the future.
To make sure and the capacity of the pipes,
yes,
basically.
Yeah, and also it has started creating pollution.
Oh yeah, because
the plants are operating, you know, beyond capacity,
yeah.
and then it pollutes the rivers. So what the two major things that pollute the resources, especially the rivers, the first one, I think the first big polluter is wastewater treatment plants.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been, I think the research has actually revealed, and that has impact of course, on pollution. The drinking water, it also affects drinking water to an extent.
Yeah, because you have to purify it.
Exactly,
in another way,
and costing and the cost of purification, as well as business, the economy, because agriculture cannot export.
No.
You know, because when they irrigate, they must be irrigated with polluted water, and then the produce is not in good quality for exporting.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's been, it was a very serious
problem.
Issue.
Yeah.
It was a very serious, I think there's a research that was done by Stellenbosch University that there's a problem.
Mm.
And then the next polluter has been cited as the informal settlement.
Okay.
Like what I was telling you, where people don't have facilities, the sanitation facilities, they don't have.
Yeah.
So that was cited as the second big polluter of rivers.
As many people probably know, South Africa has a lot of water scarcity. They have, as far as I understood, the rainfall is very varied in time and space, so it's hard to predict and it's hard to control, and a lot of the rainfall runoff is lost through floods, so they don't have much surface water. In terms of rivers, I read that the Nile River is like six times, the water in the Nile River is six times higher than the available surface water resources from all of South African rivers combined. So they have very little surface water, and the groundwater is also limited, but it's utilized a lot in the rural areas or the more arid areas where they don't have access to piped water. So a lot of the water supply is through dams, and there have been a lot of improvements in terms of water availability the last decades, but a lot of people still spend a lot of their time collecting water from far away located Brunnar.
Wells,
right? Wells or dams. So the water supply system is not really there everywhere yet. And also, I read that they now have problems also with eutrophication in a lot of their water reservoirs, that they're starting to get algal blooms.
Which makes it harder to purify the
water. So it becomes much more complicated and expensive to purify the water for drinking purposes.
Okay. Do you think that water has a focus now? More focus than before? The water issues?
Yeah. Water has got the focus now more than before, because there's also the issue of drought, the issue of climate change, the issue is actually given more focus on the water and the environment. You know, and also the fact that, you know, you can't make water a basic right, and also there are many factors, you know, impacting on water, and then not give attention to it, because you must, you know, water is affected and gets affected, it affects and is affected by everything. So I think government is actually, the awareness, you know, is not being done on ordinary people alone. Awareness is done on also other sectors. Other sectors must know that there's nothing they can do without water. If you talk agriculture,
you know, must know this, you need water.
Yeah.
If you talk construction,
yeah.
If you talk everything.
Everything, yeah.
So there's just...
We're really dependent on water.
Everything depends on water.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Mm. So I think you know, government has also made, you know, other cabinet ministers to be aware, whatever you think, you must know that there's be water.
Yeah.
If you think transport,
you
must know that energy and water.
Mm.
If you think mining, if you think, you know, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that awareness is just resurfaced on, not only on ordinary people, on, you know, consumption, but also at the level of business.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, thank you very much for taking time to talk about water. It was very, very interesting to hear.
Okay. What now, if there's any gaps, you can always send me an email. I can respond to questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Vattenpodd!